Amanda, who's holding us all together. So it's my great pleasure to introduce Elizabeth Petavicini-Gibert, who's professor of Caribbean culture and literature in the Department of Hispanic Studies and in Africana Studies at Vassar College, where she holds the Randolph Distinguished Professor Chair. Her work is very well known to scholars in all of the major language areas of the Caribbean, particularly her role in editing the groundbreaking anthologies of a new generation of Caribbean women writers, such as Green Cane and Juicy Flotsam, short stories by Caribbean women, Pleasure in the Word, erotic writings by Latin American women, and Remaking a Lost Harmony, contemporary fiction from the Hispanic Caribbean. These collections were published between 1991 and 1995, which made an enormous impact on the contours of a new direction of Caribbean literary scholarship. Professor Petavicini-Gibert has also reshaped the field in her recovery work of the Dominican author Felician Alfrey, editing a critical edition of her foundational 1954 novel, The Orchid House, as well as a biography of the author and a newly released collection of Alfrey's short stories. For over a decade, Professor Petavicini-Gibert has been examining the contours of religious discourse in the region and its relationship to environmental knowledge. In addition to her co-edited collections, Sacred Possessions, Voodoo, Santeria, Obia, and the Caribbean, that was 1997, Healing Cultures, Art and Religion, Its Curative Practices in the Care of Deforestation, from early colonial travel narratives to contemporary poetry of the region, and the discourse of endangered species and its relationship to the nation. So in addition to working on 5 books simultaneously, including a 2-volume biography of Jose Marti, and apparently that only counts as 1 book, and 1 on Caribbean eco-criticism, she is also writing 2 novels and writing daily updates on her amazing blog of Caribbean culture, which you can find at repeatingislands.com. So today she's taking a quick writing break to join us to talk to us about of Creole pigs and other vanishing species, the environmental costs of colonialism in the Caribbean. Please join me in welcoming Professor Lisa Petavicini-Gibert.
You are going to become an endangered species after mentioning my novel. This is what happens when you have a couple of glasses of wine and go into confession mode. Thank you. Thank you all for being here today. And thank you, Liz, for inviting me and you guys for co-sponsoring. I'm very happy to be here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the cheerful topic of extinction. On June 6, 2008, the United States government announced that the Caribbean monk seal, also known as the West Indian seal, the only subtropical seal native to the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico, was officially extinct. The last recorded sighting of this gentle creature, which once lived in large communities of between 50 and 100 on beaches throughout the Caribbean, was in 1952. When it was spotted at Serranilla Bank between Jamaica and the Yucatan Peninsula. So last June, after 5 years of futile efforts to find or confirm sightings, it finally joined the list of the growing victims of ecological changes unleashed by colonialism in the Caribbean region. It has gone the way of the dodo and has become, in the process, the only seal in history to vanish due to human causes. Its disappearance caused a minor ripple through the conservationist world, and the seal has become a bit of a celebrity in conservationist websites. You know, it's just a lot written about it. I take the disappearance of our only native species of seal as my point of departure in this meditation of the meanings of extinction for a post-colonial Caribbean, because of the seal's cameo role on one of our earliest texts about the conquest and colonization of the Caribbean region. The seal enters recorded history in Christopher Columbus's diary of his 4th voyage to the newly discovered territories as he orders the slaughter of 8 of what he calls sea wolves to feed his crew. So begins the relentless slaughter of the mellow and slow-moving creatures, which at its peak approached 100 deaths per night. The killing of the 8 seals by Columbus's men represents one of the earliest indications of how quickly the Colombian encounter would evolve into an ecological revolution, a concept that Eleanor Melville describes in her book about the environmental consequences of the conquest of Mexico, A Plague of Sheep, as, I quote, "a an abrupt and qualitative break with the process of environmental and social change that had developed in situ. This ecological revolution can be measured in terms of biodiversity losses that have led to the disappearance of countless species in the region. I wanted to show you a couple. Here is our seal. And I have a few others. The numbers are in the hundreds, but let me name just a few. Nine species of Antillean iguanas and snakes became extinct after Europeans introduced mongoose and rats to protect sugarcane workers. Deforestation to clear the land for sugar plantations led to the loss of a variety of unusual native rodents like the utias and shrew-like insectivores, many of them ancient species that have now not been seen for several centuries. 15 mammals have become extinct in Hispaniola, the highest number of mammal extinctions of any Caribbean islands, due to the severe deforestation of Haiti for the most part. Jamaica was, believe it or not, home to a monkey, the Xenotrix mcgregori. I love the name, lost when its forest habitat was caught by European colonists. It died out in the 1750s. The Cuban red macaw, which I really like, was reasonably common around 1800 in Cuba, but during the early 19th century, when Cuba intensified its sugar production to meet the demand created by the Haitian Revolution, the human population encroaching on its habitat increased dramatically, leading to widespread deforestation. The bird was hunted down for food, nests were plundered or disturbed to acquire young birds to keep as pets, and the last one is believed to have been shot in 1864 at La Vega in the vicinity of La Ciénaga de Zapata swamp, which seems to have been the last stronghold of this species. The Martinique and Amazon parrot became extinct due to habitat loss as the island was cleared for agriculture. It has not been seen since 1722. And Perlava Perlava, in his memoir of his voyage to the Caribbean, described the population of small parrots living in Guadeloupe, named Arantiga Labati, after the Bon Vivant priest, of which no specimens have been recorded since the mid-18th century. Okay. What does it matter, you may ask, that until efforts were made recently to reintroduce parrots to Martinique, there were no endemic species left on the island? How much should we grieve for the Cuban red macaw? Should we mourn the Caribbean monk seal? There is something inexorably final about the notion of extinction, about the disappearance brought about by natural or unnatural means of an entire species. And with hundreds of Caribbean species in the severely threatened and endangered list, this is, of course, a global concern. As Julia Whitty wrote for Mother Jones last April, and I quote, a poll by the American Museum of Natural History finds that 7 in 10 biologists believe that mass extinction poses a colossal threat to human existence, a more serious environmental problem than even its contributor, global warming, and that the dangers of mass extinction are woefully underestimated by most everyone outside of science. Now, these Caribbean extinctions pose a large number of questions, biological, environmental, cultural. So I want this afternoon to look briefly at one of these questions, that of the ways in which these biological losses have impacted the ways in which the Caribbean region has been imagined and reimagined textually, and at how these imaginings force us to reconsider what it means to be post-colonial in a new century in which Caribbean writers have begun to ponder the extinction of Caribbean islands and peoples as the ultimate result of global warming, continued deforestation, galloping desertification, and rising sea levels. There are the governments of the Caribbean have begun to measure national territory.